Hi, this is Kim Katola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Katola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Kim Katola, and really pleased to be able to be with you and just share, the joy of the season. I spent the evening listening to one of my very favorite pieces of Christmas music, the I Worship Christmas album that came out 10 or 15 years ago. Anyway, it's just wonderful. And I know you've got your favorite. And so I don't want to, it's just, there's something about the songs of the season that touches our hearts. And when that happens, suddenly Christmas arrives within. Isn't that the way it goes? I hope that you have had that moment already. Christmas is now less than 2 weeks away. And if you have had a joyous Christmas season ever in the past and you're not experiencing that now, it's hard. I do understand that. Sometimes the pressures of life press in. Sometimes there's tragedy or sadness or grief that clouds the holiday. But I pray that the message and the meaning of Christmas has touched you so far this year. In particular, the song that really blessed me today, listening to it once more, is a song by Twyla Paris, We Have Seen His Glory. And she just sings the word from John, the first chapter of John, about who Jesus is and how he was full of grace and truth, and we have seen, and how we have seen his glory. And that praise, praising in that way, I don't know what the song is that does it for you, but whatever that song is that really helps you praise God for who he is and for all that he has done, I recommend it, especially if the holidays are hard this year. Praise is the antidote to depression. And that's really counterintuitive. It doesn't make a lot of sense to think that the last thing you feel like doing, praising, evoking joyous emotions, would lift a sad mood or a low spirit. But it does. I don't know why. It's just the way God works. That's my prayer for you. I'm like anybody. Sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. And I'll tell you what, we're over 2 years of broadcast now here at Cradle My Heart Radio, and some weeks it becomes really difficult to think about approaching our topics once more. I spent the last week with my granddaughter, my first granddaughter ever, and it was a complete joy to be with her all day long for 4 or 5 days in a row. She's less than 8 weeks old and now has completely captured my heart. And it was really hard to think about switching gears. But I know that what God has for us as we become healed is that we would simply reach back and help those who have not yet seen the joy that comes in the morning. And so we press on. We press on. And I know from having seen enough people face to face that when hope begins to dawn, it makes everything worth it, no matter how difficult the conversations may be. Tonight, we have a strong lineup for you. We're still trying to reach our first guest. Rebecca Kiesling is going to be joining us. She has a ministry called Save the One, and she has a story about the difficult circumstances of her own birth that have led her to know the value of every life, whether conceived in rape or other horrible circumstances before one's birth. Rebecca Kiesling, a very strong and articulate voice for life. And then coming up later in the program, our Silent No More awareness speaker guest is going to be Jackie Stalnecker. And I don't know if you saw the news this week, but there are still things happening in the legislature, not only at the national level, but of course at state legislatures. And in Michigan, there was a story this week about how the Republican-led Michigan Senate voted to make it a crime to coerce a woman to have an abortion against her will. You think that that would not be a necessary thing, that there would be, of course, all sorts of safeguards in place to keep that from happening. But this new proposed legislation would prohibit stalking or assaulting a pregnant woman or anyone else with the intent to force an abortion against her wishes. And after learning that a woman doesn't want an abortion, a person also could not threaten to cut off legally required financial support or withdraw from a contract with her. So the bills approved 26-11 on Thursday of this week next go to the Republican-controlled House in Michigan for consideration in the waning days of their legislative session. A 2012 state law requires abortion clinics to screen patients for coercion and have the conversation at least. But lawmakers' attempt at the time to criminalize coercive abortions was removed from the legislation before Governor Rick Snyder signed it. And so anti-abortion advocates say coerced abortions are a real problem, and many women feel pressured into having an abortion. I can cite you the research that shows that the percentage is quite high from the Elliott Institute and other organizations. But pro-abortion rights supporters say they're concerned over what would constitute coercion. And under what circumstances the bills could lead to unintended consequences. And so they say existing stalking and assault crime laws protect women against being coerced. So you see, the ones who are opposed to protecting women from being forced into an abortion against their will are the ones who are supposedly the advocates of women in the pro-choice world. That's an interesting scenario, and one that Jackie Stalnecker, I'm sure, will have an opinion about because of the nature of her story and her experiences. So we've got a full program for you tonight, and our phones are open at 800-811-3003, I think we're going to go ahead and just take a break just a little bit early so we can see what the status is on trying to connect with our guest. I'm Kim Cotola. You're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio, and we'll be back after a short break. Stay with us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for listening tonight. One of the things that is on my heart is that if you need help after an abortion and you are not in a position to discuss this with anyone, I hope that you will get a copy of Cradle My Heart. And in fact, if you cannot afford it, although it's pretty affordably priced online at Amazon and some of the other major booksellers, if you cannot afford it, I want you to call us. And off the air, we'll get your contact information and we'll send you a copy. I want everyone who needs this book to get a chance to read it because it will be life-changing for you, especially if you are so isolated that you feel you cannot discuss this with anyone. And maybe an easy way for you to see if you think that this might be some material you would benefit for would be to check out our Facebook page this week. We put up links to excerpts from the book that the Living Free Ministry posted as a daily devotional on their site this week. Living Free helps people with life-controlling issues, and they understand that abortion can stay with us for a long time and color so many things that come in the aftermath. So they excerpted again one chapter of my book into a daily devotional every day this week. And just go to facebook.com/cradlemyheart. Take a look at those devotionals. See if you think that this is something that resonates with you, something that might be able to begin to let hope dawn in your heart. And take advantage of the work that's been done on your behalf so that you are no longer silenced by this and so that you are no longer trapped in the hurt of having had an abortion experience. I don't know what you've been through. I can say that your experience may be very, very different from mine, but I know that I lived in shame for so many years that it's my desire that no one would ever have to live that way. I am now free to be able to speak about God's love for me and about His healing, forgiving mercy that's available to you. And I am without shame because of that grace that I have received. And that's the vision. That's the vision that He's given me, is to see women and men healed and no longer bound by the past. 800-811-3003 is our number if you want to access a copy of Cradle My Heart, the book. 800-811-3003. And please know our ground rules always involve your privacy, your confidentiality. If you just want to list yourself as a radio listener when giving your address, I understand. But do get in touch with us, 800-811-3003. And the same applies if you'd like to call and ask a question or share a comment. You don't have to give your name. 800-811-3003, privacy first. All right, we're going to change things up just a little bit because we're not able to reach our scheduled guest, and instead we're going a little bit early with the guest that we had scheduled for the next half hour. Jackie Stalnecker is joining us on the phone, and she is one of the speakers for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. And if you've been listening for the last few weeks, you know that this is an organization. The Silent No More Awareness Campaign is an organization that seeks to, whereby Christians make the public aware of the devastation that abortion brings to women and men. So the campaign seeks to expose and heal the secrecy and silence surrounding both the emotional and sometimes physical pain of abortion. It's been in place since 2002, holding thousands of gatherings in now 17 countries and all over the United States with people sharing their abortion testimonies. Tonight, we're joined by Jackie Stalnecker, who is the Silent No More Regional Coordinator for Alabama, and she is also an accomplished media professional. She serves as Executive Director at Ignatius Productions with Father Mitch Pacwa. Jackie, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm really thankful for this opportunity.
Your story is dramatic, and I want people to be prepared that I think, you know, what I appreciate so much about the Silent No More testimonies, Jackie, is that they tell the actual truth in a way that opens eyes and opens minds. I've never heard a speaker go too far for just the sense of shocking anybody, but sometimes what is told is indeed very difficult to take in. So tell me about, before you get to the actual the abortion part of your story, tell me about the relationship that you found yourself in that led to this pregnancy.
It was actually very, very typical. I was what I thought madly in love with a young man, actually engaged to him. We were preparing for marriage, and before the actual incident itself, it was 3 weeks away from the wedding. So I was just, you know, the average girl falling in love with a man who we were planning to get married, participating obviously in an inappropriate relationship prior to the wedding. But everything other than that, I had graduated from college. I had moved to Washington, D.C., landed a terrific job, living in a great part of the city, and was just really as normal as any situation could be.
I think it's really important that people understand that going into what happened to you, because it busts up a lot of stereotypes that we might have about what happened next. So you're thinking, okay, we're in a stable relationship, now I'm pregnant. You share the news with him, and he says what?
Well, I went to him, and, you know, like I said, it was 3 weeks before the wedding. And, you know, so we're pretty much in the resting zone of everything's prepared, and we're just waiting for the day to arrive. And I went to him, and I said, we're pregnant. And he said, well, we're aborting. And I said, what? And he said, we have to abort this child. And I said, we're getting married. And he said, I don't care. So I thought, well, you know, typical guy, maybe has a little bit of the jitters before, you know, getting ready to get married. And I'd been driving him crazy with, you know, wedding details and that type of thing. And I thought, maybe if I just back off a little bit and he has time to get used to the idea, that maybe he'll open his heart and open his mind to realizing, okay, you know, we were participating in an inappropriate relationship before marriage. This was a possibility, and we are getting married, so let's bring this child into the world. But that didn't happen. He basically said to me, we need to abort this child. And when I, you know, gave him the waiting time, at least I thought that's what I was doing, 3 mornings later, he woke me up with a gun to my ribs and said to me, one of you are going to die today. It's you or the child. You decide.
Jackie, when I've heard your story, and for somebody just hearing that, I think, again, you had no idea that he was a coercive or angry or threatening presence. Did you know that he had a gun?
No, I didn't. In fact, you know, my parents had always taught me to, you know, look for someone who was brought up, you know, in the same type of atmosphere and family lifestyle, you know, into which I had been brought up, because then that way, you know, your communication style would be somewhat the same. And I really thought that that's what I had done. And I had no idea that this man had a gun, let alone, you know, in where we were staying in the apartment at the time. So it was really shocking for me and terrifying at the same time. And, you know, to watch someone that you're madly in love with and about to marry morph into this other human being, literally before your eyes, first thing in the morning, you know, you wake up, you're groggy, and someone's got, you know, a gun into your ribs. It's truly terrifying.
Mm. So where was your heart on the decision that he had made for the two of you?
Well,
before that morning arrived, when he had, you know, when he had said, okay, I'm out, and you're having an abortion.
I think I had a very unrealistic expectation. I was kind of living in a world of delirium, because I thought there's no possible way that a man that has pledged his love to me, that's planning to marry me, will allow something like this to happen. He's probably just nervous and just needs some time to chill out. So, you know, again, that's why I gave him some time to try to do that. And there was no possible way I could have predicted the road that was about to happen. There was just no way.
And I think that this is so important for someone listening to understand. If you've not had an abortion, if you don't know anybody personally, have never had a conversation with someone who's had an abortion, or you don't have any experience with someone who's been subject to violence or threats of violence, it's not that you were choosing to stay with someone. Suddenly, this person that you knew became someone else.
Right, and I really didn't, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, you know, the gun's at my ribs, and, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You know, I can go back, and even to this day, you know, 27 years later, I still go back through these memories, and I think to myself, should I have done something else? Could I have done something else? But really, the only thing that can happen is what literally happened in that moment, because you can't go back, and you can't even try to fathom what would happen if you were in that particular situation, because you don't ever think you're going to have to plan for something like that, particularly in, you know, the circumstances that we were in at that moment. So to think that he could change that fast, it was just kind of shock and terror and fear and very traumatic. And, you know, you instantly go into crisis mode, and that's where, you know, that's where the evil really steps in and starts to break you down, and you feel that you're, you know, a vehicle being driven at that point, and you have no control over your own mind or thoughts.
Mm. So how did the rest of the morning unfold?
Oh, it was really really terrifying. It, you know, I use that word over and over and over again, but I use it because I think it's a word that people can really relate to that haven't been in this situation. You know, I got up. I did exactly what he told me to do. I mean, he's got a gun, and I'm not going to stand there and question if is it loaded. Will he potentially use it? He's pointing it at me. At this point, I realize I'm dealing with something that I don't know how to deal with. I don't know how to deal with this human being. I don't know where his thought process is. So I got up, and we went out to the car, and he laid the gun in the console of the car. He locked the car down, and he drove me up to Bethesda, which is where this took place, this little building next to Bethesda Naval Hospital. And we walked in. You know, we had to walk up some stairs, and he had the gun in my back. And the one thing that I want to make very clear is this was back when there were not escorts out at all these facilities like you know, you see so many times now where you see people that are out praying and they're trying to reach out to people to let them know that they have other options other than, you know, killing their child. And that was not an option at this place. And we walked in, and, of course, he'd put the gun away. And I see these women sitting in there, and some of them are pregnant and some of them aren't. And I thought to myself at that moment, well, maybe this isn't going to be quite as bad as I'm thinking, you know, because there's women that are in here that are pregnant. So maybe this isn't going to go where he said it was going. And so I, you know, they give you the clipboard and the paperwork, and they ask you to fill the paperwork out. And I'm sitting there doing that, you know, shaking inside, trying to think, you know, could I run out of here fast enough? But I know I couldn't, so I'm just trying to go through the motions. And before I even got halfway down on the first page, I get called back. And then I'm sitting there thinking, I was the last one to walk in the door. You know how you sit in a doctor's office and you get there and you wait for hours, and the people that are sitting there before you get called back, you know, normal protocol.
Sure.
But I get called back before these people do. And they wouldn't let him come with me. So I thought, you know, this maybe is my chance. So this woman who said she was a nurse sat there, and she asked me, you know, when my last cycle was, and she was able to determine that I was 11 weeks into the pregnancy, which means the little fetal models that people hold on the sidewalks and, you know, you see during the March for Life, you know, that was the size of my daughter. Every finger, every toe, every, you know, perfect little piece of her was there together. And this woman says to me, well, you know, Jackie, you have a Band-Aid problem, and we can fix it for you. And we can discard any of this, and you can get on with your life. You're young. You have a career ahead of you. You told me you were about to get married. But what she wasn't reiterating was that I was sitting there just absolutely coming apart. And I even asked twice, you know, if he could come back, and she said no. So looking back at it now, do I think that this was all prearranged so that this could all be taken care of? Of course I do, because there was plenty of opportunity, you know, for the reason, the fact that I wasn't even called in first, or I was called in first, excuse me, and, you know, I didn't sit there and wait for all these other people, and they're sitting there waiting for whatever reason they're waiting for. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were plants. I don't know what they were. I just knew they were gone when I walked out. And before we could even finish with that consultation, then the doctor comes in to this little office room, and he says, are we ready? And she says, yes. And I said, well, I'm not even done with my paperwork. And she says, oh, we don't have to worry about that. So then they walk me into an exam room. And that was option number two for me in my mind, thinking, okay, well, if they're going to do something like this, they surely have to examine me to know what they're going to be operating on, right? That was my normal logic, at least normal at that point, and all the chaos that I was feeling and things were going through my head. And some people say to me, well, you could have screamed, you could have done something. Well, you know, I was brought there at gunpoint. I've got a doctor that's, you know, ready to go. There's this woman who's posing as a nurse. I don't know if she was a nurse or not. She's ready and more than willing. And so here I am, you know, I'm scared to death, 22 years old. And as soon as I thought that an examination was being done, I started feeling pain, you know, in my abdomen, in my pelvis. And it was, I just felt like I was being stabbed by a million knives all at the same time. It's unimaginable, the amount of pain. And I raised up at one point and yelled, stop it. And the nurse threw me back down on the table. And she had, you know, she had her hands on my shoulders. And she said, just one more minute. And the doctor said, Yeah, only one more piece to remove.
I'm going to interrupt you here just for,
sure.
because it's time for a break, and I want to give us a chance to let that settle,
okay.
Although it's not necessarily even the worst of it, but we're just going to take a break. Jackie Stalnecker is our guest. Tonight's Silent No More Awareness Campaign speaker. Jackie is regional coordinator for Alabama for the campaign. She's also executive director at Ignatius Productions with Father Mitch Pacwa. We'll continue after this short break. Please stay with us. And our phones are open for you to offer Jackie your courage, your comments, your encouragement. 800-811-3003 is our number. Join us here at Cradle My Heart.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Katola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Cradle My Heart Radio welcomes you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. Every week we try to bring you topics that help advance the cause of life. Often we are sharing stories of women and men who have experienced abortion in our lives. And no two stories are alike. If you listen week in and week out, there is something unique about every story and unique about the ways in which God has reached out to bring us healing and to bring us into a new place in the aftermath of abortion. And that's why we're here, to shed light on this issue. And often the program is very difficult to listen to, but always rewarding and filled with hope. And so tonight, as we are talking with Jackie Stalnecker, it's a difficult story to hear. Coerced by her fiancé 3 weeks from a wedding at gunpoint to go to an abortion which she believes had been already paid for and arranged, she was not given any say even during the procedure, even when she protested that she was in great pain. And as we resume Jackie's story, I want you to know that if this is triggering painful memories for you, please do reach out for us. Reach out to us, that is. If you call us at 800-811-3003 and you're not prepared to share anything on the air or to go on, to be part of the program, please know that we will give you information off the air to connect you with resources that are available 24/7 to help you. Because I'm not a counselor. I'm trained as a peer counselor, but I'm not a professional counselor. But there is help that's available 24/7, and we will connect you with that help. I do not want anybody to be suffering as a result of listening to our stories. I want there to be hope, connection, new life, and a great ending to the story that's being written in your life as a result of listening to this program. And so 800-811-3003 is our number. And you may call us, and again, we'll give you connect you with resources if that is an immediate need for you as well. Tonight, again, we're talking with our guest, Jackie Stalnecker of the Silent No More campaign. And Jackie, let's talk about what happened now as the procedure was being completed.
Tells that I should probably bring to your attention too, you know, so that listeners are aware. There's not always medication or anesthesia given during this procedure, and I learned that firsthand. So when I, you know, when I was talking about how I felt like I was being given like a briefing and a examination before this started to take place, I really believed that. But then I learned very quickly after what was said to me once I was shoved back down on the table and told to, you know, just suck it up, basically, that the procedure was actually taking place and my child was being killed and literally being removed piece by piece from my body. And once that was done, the doctor just said, okay, you know, you're finished. The nurse walked out of the room. He threw the sheet on me and he said, you know, if you have extra bleeding, just take some Tylenol, go to the emergency room, you're finished. There was no recovery time because there had been no medication or anesthesia given to me. And there I was. So I put myself together and I walked out into the lobby where I had been, you know, just not too long before. And my fiance was gone. And the lobby was pretty much emptied out. So I go back to that first statement. Were those women that were in there, were they plants? I don't really know. To this day, I don't know. But all I could think about was, I have to find him. And maybe he started to feel bad, so maybe he went to the car. So I went outside and I went down the stairs and the car was gone. And there was a parking deck across the street. So I thought, well, maybe he's really thought about this. Maybe this is on his conscience. And he's moved the car. Maybe he doesn't even want to have the car parked here. So I started to go across the street, which is a main thoroughfare through Bethesda. And I collapsed in the middle of the street and nearly bled to death by the time the paramedics had gotten to me. At that point, I was admitted to the hospital, and I was in the hospital for about 3.5 days. And I couldn't call anybody. You know, what was I going to tell them? I couldn't call my parents. I couldn't call anybody because I knew if I called, I was going to be emotional because I was an emotional wreck as it was. And then somebody was going to ask me, you know, what's going on with you? And I was too afraid and too embarrassed and too ashamed, you know, to tell them what had happened. And I still didn't even know where my fiance was. You know, and there's still, in my mind, there's this wedding and I've got to find him. You know, I was still trying to hang on to that too. And realizing that a child had been taken from me, but at that very moment, I knew that there was great loss, but I had no idea the turns that my life was about to take, you know, from that moment. And it wasn't until months and years later that it had great impact on me.
Jackie, how did you come to terms with this? How did your healing journey begin?
Oh, gosh. You know, it actually took me probably 15 years to realize that this is what was wrong with me. I started going to counselor after counselor after counselor, and I was being medicated for depression and walking around like a zombie, but never, ever once, you know, admitted this to anyone, and they never asked. It was, they thought I had problems with my family, or there was something in my background, how I was brought up, or maybe it was peer pressure from when I was in school. I mean, you know, they tried to, you know, dig at everything about me. But no one came blatantly out and asked me. And I'm not sure if they did, if I would have even responded at the time, you know, because the humiliation is beyond, you know, and the shame and then the great loss and the grief all at the same time. I mean, you're feeling all of these emotions at the same time to the point you just wear yourself out. So being medicated was an option for me because it numbed it and I didn't have to think about it and I suppressed it. And I finally met a couple who were actually a former nun, and she had come out of a convent and married a man, and she sat me down and she was the one that asked me. I don't know how, to this day I don't know how she knows, but she did, and you know, I'd admitted it to her, and so she got me some help and I started to, you know, slowly work through it that way. And then I finally told my parents, and my mom was like, you know, why didn't you come to us? And I told her, I just felt like that I couldn't. It wasn't anything against my family. It was just I just couldn't say anything. Of course, the wedding was called off. You know, the wedding never happened. So then I had to go through all of that, you know, further rejection, further abandonment, and then realizing that that was also done to the little life inside of me. And I had a part to play in that because I allowed this to happen to me. And even though I was held at gunpoint and it was coerced, you still start to take the blame for it, particularly when that other person who was responsible for this is missing from your life for years and years and still is.
I think that's true. My story is not similar to yours, except for the fact that, you know, I was engaged and shocked that my fiance abandoned me to the abortion decision, and it was his decision.
Right.
But I think that what happens in the hearts of women, and I think this is really important for you to understand if you're listening and you have not yet processed this part of an abortion experience, is that, you know, as mothers, we know in our hearts that we're that last line of defense. that, you know, and so for me, I hadn't really, you know, I chose it, so to speak, in order to please him. I passively went along with his decision. And because the other people that I confided in didn't offer me any alternatives either, I didn't see any other choice for myself. But God intervened at the last minute to let me know that what I was about to do was wrong. And because I did not act on that revelation, you know, I had to live with the truth that I had failed to protect a child, because I knew at that moment that that's what really was happening. But as you say, I suppressed that knowledge that it was a child for a lot of years. And this is a really common thing that happens to us as women. And, you know, I also, Jackie, the humiliation factor that you've talked about is so important for us to grasp too, because, you know, the first time that someone said to me in sympathy, "You mean to tell me he did that to you? He did nothing?"
Yeah.
And even though, as I say, I wasn't, you know, I don't want to see myself as a victim in life, but indeed I was.
Sure, of course.
None of us wants to own the fact that we have been victimized. We want to see ourselves as strong and, you know, as making our way in life and all the things that you said to describe yourself in the strength and beauty of your young womanhood. We were about the same age when these things happened to us. And so we're just about out of time. And in the remaining time, there's so many things that we could talk about to fill in the gaps. But what I would like for you to do, Jackie, is to just share what's on your heart that God, as the Holy Spirit leads you, to just give a brief prayer for anyone listening tonight who, like you, has been coerced and has not yet come to terms with what has happened to her in her life.
Yes, of course. Thank you. First of all, I would like to wish my sympathies to anyone out there that's listening that has not dealt with their abortion experience, or if they were a part of an abortion experience, to please reach out to someone, whether it's us or your priest or your pastor, to seek help, because God does love you, and he does want you to feel that mercy and his forgiveness. And once you're able to work through that, you will literally be set free, and you can be able to speak out the way we are and feel that freedom and to be there to provide hope and love and mercy for others that have been through this, and to also be able to reach out and to identify these children, because they deserve the love and dignity and honor just like anyone else that's passed away, only their lives were taken tragically from us. And when I speak not only on behalf of Lily Gabrielle, my daughter, but I speak on behalf of all of my sisters and brothers that have been through this. And unfortunately, we do become a community, but the beauty in that is that we are a community that can provide support and hope and healing for all those that have been through it, whether it's those of us ourselves, the men that have been a part of it, the grandparents, the siblings, the family. That's where it all comes down to, is the family.
Amen. So well said.
Thank you.
Jackie, thank you for joining us, and I'll just pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the healing that you've brought to Jackie's life. Thank you for the boldness with which she speaks out the truth. I pray, Lord, that there is more healing in store as I have continued to process my experience even years down the road, Lord. I still find your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, the reason we share that is because you're no respecter of persons. It's what you have in mind for each and every one of us, and we submit to your love. I pray that you would make it so in each of our hearts tonight, in Jesus' name. Jackie, thank you so much for being our guest.
Well,
I appreciate
it. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Go to cradlemyheart.org if you want to learn more about the Silent No More Awareness Campaign and links to Jackie's testimony and other information and resources. Short break, and then we'll be back with Rebecca Kiesling. Stay with us tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We are pleased to be able to welcome to the program Rebecca Kiesling. And Rebecca is a presence who has been such a strong and persuasive and articulate voice for life in all circumstances, that abortion is not an acceptable answer to the problems in life that we face with unintended pregnancies, especially in the case of rape. Rebecca, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm glad we connected. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rebecca is also an attorney, a wife, a mother of five, and an international pro-life speaker, sharing her own story of having been conceived in rape and nearly aborted at two back-alley abortions. And Rebecca, if somebody is brand new to your ministry, I'm sorry that, you know, our schedule was a little bit up in the air tonight, so we don't have as much time as I'd like to be able to give to you, and I hope that you'll be able to join us on a future broadcast. But give us just the short version of that dramatic story. How have you connected with your birth mother, and how you came to terms with knowing the facts surrounding your birth?
Sure. I met my birth mother when I was 19. I was 18 when I learned that I was conceived in rape, 19 when I learned the horrific details. And now it's been many, many years. I'm 45 years old now. And my adoptive family was actually abusive and very dysfunctional. Things were kind of pretty rotten a few years ago, and I really needed to protect my children. I needed peace of mind to make sure that there was no way they could raise my children if anything happened to me or my husband, because his family is all out of state. So even though I love adoption, my two oldest are adopted. We had a baby with special needs who we were adopting. Mine was not a good situation. I still love life, even though I was abused growing up. But my birth mother and her husband actually legally adopted me 3 years ago. And so for me, that's like my fairy tale ending. When I had been forsaken by my adoptive father, God chose himself to once again be a father to the fatherless in my life. And so we have a great relationship. She's been interviewed with me for all kinds of stuff, Extra, Glamour magazine, Marie Claire magazine. She comes to hear me speak. She's really proud of me, even though she had been pro-choice for the first 6 years that we met. She told me it should have been her right, should have been her choice, that she would have aborted me if it had been legal. But now today, she is so thankful that we were both spared the horror of abortion.
Wow, Rebecca, and some of the media outlets that you just mentioned, I know, are strongly pro-choice. I'm curious about the reaction that you've gotten when your story has appeared.
Speak out. All kinds of different scenarios. I actually debated Gloria Allred on Piers Morgan on CNN. You can watch that on YouTube. But, her story, the attorney Gloria Allred, who's known as a, you know, feminist women's rights attorney, her story is actually that she became pregnant by rape. And she talked about how she almost died at a back alley abortion. But she said, but thankfully my life was spared. And, you know, we have that in common because I almost died at a back alley abortion, at two back alley abortions. But I'm not supposed to be thankful that my life was spared because the law protected me?
Wow. Wow. So, Rebecca, you also had just a beautiful encounter with Texas Governor Rick Perry. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was actually like almost exactly 3 years ago. At the premiere of the Citizens United film, The Gift of Life, with Governor Mike Huckabee. Mine was one of several stories featured in that film. And so I had backstage cast the premiere. Four presidential candidates spoke at it in Des Moines, Iowa. And I had this awesome opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with Governor Perry and each of the four candidates. And Governor Perry that night told me, looked me in the eyes and promised no more rape exception. He signed a presidential personhood pledge the next morning, and so did Newt Gingrich. And then he went on national television within the next several weeks, several times, talking about our conversation, how my story pierced his heart, and that he could not justify the rape exception any longer.
Rebecca Kiesling is our guest tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio, and we have a shortened version of this visit, but our phones are open. If you could get to us immediately, we might be able to get a phone call in at 1-800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. Rebecca, so the rhetoric that surrounds this, to me, is some of the most entrenched and frustrating rhetoric, because the logic always breaks down. It's all based on emotion, and it's all based on, you know, fear-mongering. What do you say to someone who says that you would force a woman to give birth by not having any exception because of rape, that this represents forced pregnancy and it's like The Handmaid's Tale or some third world country? How do you answer those critics?
Well, sure, my birth mother was forced by law to carry me because I was legally protected. I mean, we're talking about protection. So if you're forcing someone not to kill their child, then yeah, that's what we are talking about. Of course, we didn't cause the rape, but, you know, two rights don't make a wrong. We don't have the death penalty for rapists, according to the Supreme Court. That's cruel and unusual punishment, even for child molesters, the Supreme Court said, that the death penalty is cruel and unusual punishment. This is America. We do not punish innocent people for someone else's crime. She deserves protection. She deserves help. She deserves real help, non-abortion, and she needs to be protected from the rapist and from the abortion and not the baby. The baby is not the scary enemy. She's four times more likely to die within the next year after the abortion. So if you really care about her, you would want to protect her from the abortion and the rapist.
800-811-3003. Rebecca, as I'm listening to your story and the articulate way that you defend life, what is the most frustrating thing for you, the thing that you would change if you could just wake up tomorrow and then things were different? What would you do?
I would want to see pro-life leaders stop diminishing, stop saying, well, it's extremely rare. Oh, it's only 1%. I would love to see them just defend. You know, it's unfortunate that some national figures like Agin, you know, screwed up because of the writings of pro-life leaders. They were only repeating what they'd heard. We had others, Trent Franks messed up a year and a half ago. He said it's extremely rare because that's what the pro-life leaders say in the movement. And so I wish instead of diminishing, they would just defend. And then, of course, I would like to see zero tolerance for rape exceptions. In Michigan, we've never had a rape exception in any of our laws because White Life of Michigan won't give you an endorsement if you make a rape exception, whereas many other states freely hand out endorsements for candidates who make rape exceptions. So I would like to see that horrible practice end. And, of course, I'd like to see abortion end altogether. But, you know, right now they're trying to get abortion funded in cases of rape worldwide in war-torn nations. But everyone knows that all that will happen is you just have to check a box and we'll be funding abortion for any reason. So as soon as you open the door for rape, it opens the door for all abortions. And that's what happened in Roe v. Wade. She alleged that she was raped, and it just opened the door for all abortions.
Right. Well, Rebecca, as I said, we just are not able to do justice to your story and to your cause and your ministry and your heart tonight because of our shortened visit. So will you promise to return in the future?
Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
I think that, you know, it's very hard to oppose the cohesive worldview that you're advancing, the one that says life in all cases, especially innocent life. Rebecca Kiesling, thanks for joining us. And thank you for listening tonight. We are out of time. Go to cradlemyheart.org to find out about next week's upcoming guest, an update on the Gosnell movie, and more. Thank you for listening. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.